Sports Radio 100.3 The Team is socially networked. Facebook.com/1003theteam. Follow us on Twitter at 100.3 The Team. And now on Instagram at 100.3 The Team.
Welcome back. Good Tuesday morning to you. We are 40 minutes past the hour here at Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Aaron Marks, Pat Payone here hanging out. Nice morning right now. Going to be a little bit of a rainy day, though. Oh, we got an update on the team volleyball team. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I got a guest joining me, but we'll give you a full update. We had a good night last night. We had a good night. Best night yet this year, but full update coming about 12 minutes from now.
Asterisk.
Shut up. We'll tell everybody about it. We'll fully disclose. We will fully disclose, but it was a good night. All right, let's talk a little NFL football, though. We've been breaking down the draft a lot. Not so much today, but want to get back into it. Yesterday, we gave it a ton of breakdown. But joining us to give it some further breakdown, he is an NFL analyst with BleacherReport.com, Brent Sobleski, giving us a few minutes. Brent, good morning. How are you, my man?
Good morning, gentlemen. Doing well this fine morning.
So who do you think, who won the draft? Who had the best draft in your eyes?
Well, I think it's obvious a lot of people lean towards the Jacksonville Jaguars because you have the back-to-back picks of Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack, which by most indication, you're looking at two legitimate top five talents. One, they selected in the top five, and then you had Jack slide because of the knee issues. When you look at how they're building that defense, they finally are starting having the pieces in place that with Gus Bradley, after multiple years there, they can start actually looking like the Seattle brand of defense that he wanted to bring in the first place. They already had the offensive pieces with Blake Bortles and the Allen brothers at wide receiver, so they're dynamic on that side of the ball. It just came down to building more around their defense, and they spent almost the entire draft on said defense, except for quarterback Leighton Brandon Allen from Arkansas. So I think when you look at Jacksonville, they would be the automatic team most people would bring up of winning the NFL draft this year.
You know, Brent, I know that the NFL draft has become, especially the first round, a made-for-TV event, so they have to extend it out between picks. But when Dallas passed on Ramsey, how quickly do you think Jacksonville got to the podium with that pick?
Very quickly, because the Baltimore Ravens were attempting to trade up to get ahead of them for Ramsey. So they were quite pleased that Ramsey was on the board. When you look at him, he can be their Richard Sherman, as it were, the physical, big, long, lean cornerback that could really dominate on the edge. I know they didn't expect him to be there. It's a situation where if you have to pick the top talent, and you're in the position to do so. And I think they're quite appreciative that Baltimore couldn't get ahead of them, and they got the guy they wanted.
Brent Sobleski, NFL analyst with BleacherReport.com, joining us. Brent, what do you think of Carolina and some of the moves they made? We're down here scratching our heads a little bit, but I don't know if you're doing the same or if you can bring some clarity to what they were doing this past weekend.
Well, what I find funny is we all have this narrative or this idea that they didn't value cornerbacks highly after they let Josh Norman go. They just didn't value Josh Norman as much as Josh Norman valued himself because obviously with three cornerbacks selected in the draft, they felt they had to address that position. Now, they have two nice pieces even before they selected Bradberry and Worley when you have Ben Wickery coming back healthy and they signed Brandon Boykin as a free agent. He's one of the better nickel corners in the NFL, but they still needed that big corner on the outside, and they selected two of them in the second and third round. It was with Bradley and Worley. They're long. They're guys that can get they're better jamming you at the line of scrimmage. They're aggressive. They're going to need to be developed, and they're not going to be Josh Norman coming in. They're going to be very similar probably on their career paths with how long it takes them to really develop. But obviously they decided to address that position and really go at it hard and aggressively to make sure there's no major holes in that defense. My concern is, and it's been a two-year concern ongoing now at this point, when are you going to address left tackle? I realize Michael Orr has played better than expected last year, but he was exposed in the Super Bowl. He's a nice player, but he's not going to be the guy you want to keep at left tackle long term, and that's where I think the biggest question mark still lies within that roster.
Yeah, and that was probably the most shocking thing to me is, A, that they go for a defensive tackle in the first round, and I get that they like the guy, but, I mean, come on. Like, how many defensive tackles do you need on the roster? And the fact that they never took an offensive lineman in the draft. And we were sitting here breaking it down last week going, okay, well, they're going to pick up an offensive lineman or two at some point. We'll see when they decide to do that. And then for them to never do it, you're right. It's like, when are they going to address this?
Well, I will say that Butler is a legitimate first-round talent, a guy that I had mocked going actually a little bit earlier than where he landed to Carolina. I think the big mistake they made with that situation isn't necessarily picking Butler, because you obviously have long-term issues with Kawan Short and Star Lotulelei, even though they just recently picked up his fifth-round option. I think the issue there, they had the option to trade down and amass picks. I mean, they finished only with five total selections. There's other places on the roster you could have addressed by accumulating more picks. Maybe Butler's still there if you go down a few selections, but they decided they liked him so much that they didn't want to move out and stay there in the first round. I think what they could have done potentially was move out, still got him, and got more picks overall.
Brent Sobleski, NFL analyst with BleacherReport.com, joining us, giving us a breakdown of the NFL draft, his thoughts on everything that played out this past weekend. Brent, going out to Denver, I was reading an article this morning that Mark Sanchez says that the Paxton Lynch pick further confirms that he's the guy out there. What do you think of those comments out of Sanchez?
I tend to agree, because when you look at Lynch physically and as a prospect, he's every bit the player that was Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. The issue with him was where he is mentally from an NFL concept perspective. This is someone where he's much further behind on the learning curve, because he wasn't asked to do a lot in Memphis' spread system. You know, it was a lot of half-field reads, a lot of single reads, a lot of moving out of the pocket. So from that perspective, he's going to need time to develop. I think he's a good fit in Gary Kubiak's offense, because they do a lot of those similar things, especially rolling him out. But overall, Mark Sanchez is far more ready to come in the season and become the starter. If Lynch shows something in preseason, then you can consider. But right now, you want it to be develop him long-term and eventually start him. I think Sanchez is a better option going into this year, at least for a team that still has aspirations of repeating the Super Bowl. I don't think that's quite plausible, because they've had so many losses. But Sanchez is a better, more consistent option, which is a scary thought when you think about it.
Brent, we had a spirited discussion yesterday about something I'm not sure if anybody's asked you yet in your interview since the draft. Tampa traded up to get the kicker from Florida State. How does that make you feel in the second round?
Well, kickers are people too, gentlemen. No, I'm going to be honest. I'm not one of those guys that value the position highly. And I was surprised, not that simply because they took him in the second round, because they traded up in the second round again. That's really the astonishing part of the situation. I understand Aguayo is arguably the best kicker we've ever seen come out of college. Hope I get it. But and then there's going to be changes to the way the position is used and how its overall value. When you talk about the extra point length, mortar kicks now that will be potentially used on kickoffs instead of letting every team out on the 25. But when I look at what the other teams did, you had other kickers drafted later. Or you had a player, for example, Ben Craddock, who was one of the best kickers in college football the last 2 years from Maryland. He was signed as a free agent by the Cleveland Browns. How much differentiation are you going to get between Aguayo and the rest of those players, and yet you spent such a far higher pick on him than the rest of those kickers? So, to me, you still have to maximize value overall. Do you have to trade up? Maybe consider him in the second round. Do you have to trade up for him, or can you wait a little bit longer? It's a little bit head-scratching on my end as well.
How big of a role do you think kickoffs and this coming year, the ability to maybe place kickoffs, played in picking him up?
I think a lot, quite frankly. You know, this is someone, this is going to be a very key part of the NFL this year when it comes to hidden yardage and exactly where you allow teams to set up after scores or at start of games or halftime. There's going to be a lot of coaches and a lot around the league that will not want to give up that extra 5 yards and have a team start at 25. So then you want to see a lot what we see more in college football. Like Ohio State, for example, does this very well. They love pinning them against the sideline and deep instead of kicking it out of the back of the end zone. And this is a strategy that's going to come about more and more in the NFL. Now, if you have a big leg kicker and you don't want to deal with it and you let them boot it out of the end zone every single time, go right ahead. But a lot of situations, not every team has that luxury. So when you come down to it, find that guy that he can has that accuracy and ability to consistently do it. So that does bring up the value of the position some.
Final thoughts, Brent. Brent Sobleski, NFL analyst with BleacherReport.com, joining us. You had a piece that you did, NFL Power Rankings, how the experts stack up teams after the draft. So we talk about how Jacksonville went out and had a spectacular draft, especially with their top two picks. Give me another team that really just did a nice job in addressing needs that will help them, you know, maybe reach bigger goals this coming year.
Well, I think the two teams you look at that really are surging in the right direction, a lot of people are really looking at them as the chic picks going into this season would be Jacksonville and the Oakland Raiders. When you look at Oakland in the draft and in free agency, they have been spectacular this year. You have your core pieces already set with Derek Carr and Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and they did a great job drafting those guys. Now you continue to build around them. You go outside of Bruce Irvin to pair with Khalil Mack. You get Carl Joseph in the draft, who, by the way, gentlemen, is the best pure safety in this year's class. And if you want to have fun watching highlights, go watch his, because they're hypnotic as many times as he lights guys up. I think the Raiders are really trending in the right direction, with the Broncos probably taking a step back, maybe the Chiefs as well. The Raiders can legitimately compete in the AFC West this year and potentially get a surprise crown out of it.
Good stuff. You can read all of his reaction to the draft and much more related to the NFL at BleacherReport.com. Brent Sobleski giving us a few minutes. Brent, always appreciate the time, my man. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
All right, thank you. Good stuff there. Kickers are people, too. That's the soundbite of the week so far. We'll see if that can be topped. That's pretty good stuff right there. Pretty good stuff. All right, let's take a quick time out. When we come back, we will keep the conversation with football. Interesting report came out from the folks at WMBF concerning some of the things going on with the Myrtle Beach Freedom football team, and we'll give some thoughts on that and talk about the situation going on there coming up next. Right now, let's take a look at the information you need to know. We kick it off with your National Sports Report.